Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm humbled to be here today. My name is Elder Greg Duhart, and I'm blessed that God has allowed us to be together on this night. On Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the solemn religious observance on the liturgical calendar that we call Lent. The purpose of Lent, as Pastor Matt has said, is to better prepare us as believers to truly appreciate the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to do this through self-examination, repentance, prayer, self-denial, and fasting. The scriptures that we're going to look at today is going to be Jonah 3. I'm going to cover approximately Jonah 3 from 1 to about 6. And the topic of this particular talk is, have you ever experienced the grace of God? And the word reads, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. But the news reached the king of Nineveh, who rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. God bless the reading of his word. As you know, in Jonah, we started in chapter 3. We're going to look a little bit in chapter 1. Chapter 1, Jonah disobeys God's command to go to Nineveh and attempts to flee God's presence. In chapter 2, Jonah praises God in the midst of his tribulation for trying to run away from God. And we all know what happened there, right? He got stuck in that great big whale. But when we get to chapter 3 here, what we see in verse 1 is that God, it says here that in verse 1 tells us that the word of God came to Jonah a second time, meaning that God's word came to him the first time, but Jonah didn't observe it. What he heard the first time, he chose to disobey that. But God graciously brought the same word to Jonah a second time. Very important point. Brothers and sisters, have you ever had an opportunity where God gave you a second chance? Where God gave you a second opportunity? Well, here is an opportunity in the Word of God where God gives Jonah a second opportunity. He gives him the second opportunity, but what's interesting is that God's command doesn't change and God's task doesn't change, because God doesn't change. And the command that God gave was to go to the Ninevites. The task was to preach to the Ninevites. Well, what changed in Jonah? What changed in Jonah? What changed in Jonah was that God's will and his purpose for Jonah changed Jonah's belief. Jonah became obedient as a result of the time that he spent in the whale. Now, see, God normally gives us an opportunity to change when he speaks with us. He gives us an opportunity, if we're going to be disobedient, to give us an opportunity to reconcile within ourselves what it is he would have for us to do. Jonah had that opportunity. And as a result of that, Jonah became obedient. And that obedience was an act of faith, not just an act of the will. So as Jonah experienced this grace of God in his life and is now obedient, the thing that we need to realize is that Jonah's heart, while he was obedient, Jonah's heart is about Jonah's heart, because Jonah had a heart problem. Whilst he was obedient to God, he still hated the Ninevites. It's a very important point, church, because here we have a prophet of God that ran away from his responsibilities, but yet and still God gave him another chance. And even when God gave him another chance and he was obedient, He was doing what God would have him to do. He was doing all the things that we all think a Christian would do or a person loving God would do. But he still had a heart problem. Now, I don't know about you, but that frightens me. That frightens me to think that I could sit in the pew and cry and be emotional and love God and do all of the things that everybody else thinks makes me a good Christian. But as God reads your heart, if there is hate, we have a heart problem and we need to deal with that. Now, we saw that what changed was his obedience to God. When we read verse 2, we read that God said to Jonah, go to the Ninevites. Now, Jonah now realizes that God meant what he said, that he meant to go to the Ninevites. And his time in the whale gave him time to reflect on that. And I want you to think about Jonah's time in the whale, because I want you to think about your time in God's whale. Maybe it wasn't a whale like Jonah's whale, but maybe it was a time of sickness, a time of distress, a time of when you're emotionally tired, where God has put you in a place where you need to stop and to reflect on what God is saying to you. So Jonah takes this time seriously. He becomes obedient, and Jonah learns that just as God is serious about this, that through the storm, while he was languishing in the darkness of the deep, that he had to come back and face the problem. And the problem was to go and to do what God would have him to do. Jonah might have wished that God would have given him another task, like some of us. As we run away from God, we say, well, maybe God will forget and he'll give me a different task. No, when God gives you a task, that task is for you. And he is expecting and he will work with you so that that task will be done. So when Jonah comes to his senses, God says the task hasn't changed. The command is the same. Now Jonah goes and he becomes obedient. In the same way, God tells us as Christians that he wants us to be his ambassadors. He wants us to take his word out to those who may not know him. And I know some of us wish that there were different ways that we could do that. God, can it be given to them through osmosis? God, can you give it to them intravenously? God, is there a way that I might be able to get around going out and being the ambassador that you would want me to be? God, do you have some clever gimmick, some great visual aid, some media, some flashy presentation, some great musical praise, some Starbucks coffee type of service that we can use to deliver the word of God to those people that require it, that need it, that we are the ambassadors, that is our responsibility to give them? God still decrees that it is the preaching and the proclamation of his word that will bring men and women to the knowledge of the gospel. God is the author of that message. Jonah and we are the messengers. The message does not change. Again, this is a simple lesson for all of us here. There's a simple lesson. We are not free to change God's message, which God has given us in his word. And it's pretty arrogant for us to think that we can. But when we look at verse 3, what we see is a stark contrast to what we see in verses 1, in chapter 1, verse 3. Okay? There, what we see is Jonah disobeying and fleeing. But after his experience and God's chastisement, a stimulus, a reason that we need to get back to the book and look at our heart problem so that we can do what God would have us to do. It simply says that Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. His heart had been changed by grace. And it is seen in the change, and that change is seen in his response to the command of God. The verse also tells us that Nineveh was a great city. Archaeologists tell us that the city of Nineveh was some 60 miles in circumference and that it could have up to 500,000 citizens. To walk around the walls of the city would have taken about 3 days. That little piece of information, which seems incidental to us, is actually an important light in what we read in verse 4. We are told that Jonah went 1 day's journey into the city. before he began to preach the message that God had given him for Nineveh. Jonah journeyed into the heart of the city to proclaim the message of God. There was no standing on the sidelines here. There was no shouting into the situation. Jonah had to go into the belly of his enemies. Jonah had to go into the city of the people that he hated because they were violent. They were Israel's worst enemies, and Jonah had no respect for them. But God sent him into the middle of their city to proclaim his word. Now think about that. God sent his prophet into a place that the prophet did not want to go. That should tell us that even though we may not like certain groups of people, the Lord requires that we go to those people and to bring them his gospel and to bring them his message, because he loves them just like he loves us. And so when we look at ourselves, we need to say, are there Ninevites in my life that I need to look at my heart about? Because I need to take the gospel to them just as God sent Jonah to do that. So as Jonah had to venture into the midst of all the wickedness that had come before God and proclaim God's judgment on all that was going on around him, we must see it was easy and safe for Jonah to want to stand on the sidelines. It is more comfortable to stand on the outskirts and to tell people of their need for God, as opposed to getting close to them, where you can understand their needs, you can understand their heart, and you can understand those things that you can use in order to give them the word of God in a way that they can understand it. Once again, here, the lesson is simple. You cannot bring the message of God to people from the sidelines. You have to go a day's journey into the heart of Nineveh, whatever your Nineveh may be. So what was the message that God gave to Jonah? Okay? It's a very simple message. That message was 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Doesn't sound like a very complicated message. Doesn't sound like one that one should be upset about. But God has gone to all the trouble with Jonah, as you read in the previous chapters, to get him into the position to preach that one sentence. I mean, you would think that it would have been something more eloquent, something that would have had much more gravitas. You think that it would be more than just one sentence. But I think there probably was more than this sentence spoken by Jonah, but I suspect it wasn't any more complicated than the one sentence, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Why would God go to such lengths for this simple message to be proclaimed to Nineveh, to the Ninevites? The answer is quite simple. First, God is jealous for his word and will go to extraordinary lengths for it to be proclaimed to people he desires to hear it. Secondly, God is his word. And where God's word is preached, God's voice is heard. The scriptures said here that when they heard God, the Ninevites believed God when the prophet preached the word 40 more days. Not that they believed Jonah. The word says that they believed God because God is his words. Thirdly, Jonah was not ashamed to preach these words at that point in time because his heart had been changed. So God calls Jonah to tell them the message that he's given them. And so let's look just a little bit closer at this message. 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. Why 40 days? Why 40 days? Why did God, what enemy telegraphs to their combatant that in 40 days, I'm going to come in and I'm going to destroy you? What enemy does that? Not very many. But wondering what's significant about 40 days, as Pastor King would say, I'm glad you asked. What is significant about 40 days is 40 is a biblical number full of meaning. It represents a time of testing, preparation for one's life, or the life of a generation of people. It is a period of time for examining one's life for truth, for authenticity. It is a period of time given to a person or to a people to examine their life before God comes to them and either brings judgment or blessing. Allow me to give a few biblical examples of that. Noah, 40 days in the ark. When we look at the children of Israel in the wilderness, 40 years, a generation. When we look at Elijah, when he was on the run from Jezebel, 40 days. When we look at Jesus in the wilderness before temptation, 40 days. 40 days between the resurrection of Christ and the ascension of Christ into heaven and the coming of a new reality of the kingdom of God. In each case, the number 40 is a future-oriented number. The last day, the 40th, shapes the content of the preceding 39 days. So it's not just the 40th day. It is all of those days in the middle that one takes to prepare for what the king would have for them to do. Each of those 39 days or years is lived in expectation of the 40th and the fulfillment of the word of God, the promise, once again, of blessing for obedience. The 39th becomes the womb in which a new beginning, a new life is growing, awaiting birth on that 40th day. The days become a training ground, a training ground of living by faith in God and his words to them. Day 40 brings life in a new way. However, if day 40 is ignored, then the ark is shipwrecked. The Israelites never enter the promised land. Elijah keeps running, and Jesus succumbs to the devil. So the 40th day, just like the other 39, should be observed. I hope that you can see the significance of the 40 days in the message that Jonah preached. So as we embark upon our 40-day period until the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus, hopefully we will use this waiting room time to repent, to pray, to fast, and to deny ourselves, and examine ourselves as we wait for a new life on that 40th day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we hope that the word that has been preached will be one that was good to you, one that you felt explain those things the way that you needed them to be explained. And now as we continue on in this service, may everyone be blessed. May everyone understand and heed to these 40 days and take this time, Heavenly Father, to repent so that our souls will be cleared so that we can enjoy that new life on the 40th day. We ask you this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.